Title: Short Room Reverbs for Snare Character, Advanced. Alright, let's talk about one of the fastest make it sound like a record moves in drum and bass, short room reverbs on the snare. Not big cinematic tales, not washing out your groove. We're going for character, body, a little bit of air while the snare stays forward, punchy, and fast. In a roller, that means the reverb has to feel like it's part of the snare tone, not some separate space hanging behind it. By the end of this lesson, you'll have a dedicated snare room return in Ableton using stock devices, a tighter gated version for extra smack, and a heavier, darker room option for techier vibes. And we'll talk about how to automate it so it opens up on fills and phrase ends without wrecking the drop. First, the setup. Route like a pro so the kick stays clean. If your kick and snare are on separate tracks, perfect. If they're inside a drum rack, also fine. The important thing is, only the snare gets sent to this room. Create a return track and name it a snare room. Now, set your kick's send to that return to minus infinity, fully off, and set your snare's send to something like minus 12 dB to start. We'll adjust later. If you're in a drum rack, open the chain list, find the snare pad's chain, and use the sends for that chain specifically. That's the surgical DNB approach. And here's why, in drum and bass, the kick transient and sub relationship is sacred. Room reverb on the kick is usually a groove killer. It blurs the front edge and suddenly everything feels slower, so we keep the room snare focused. Now let's build the core short room chain on that return. The order is important, because we're shaping what hits the reverb, then controlling the time, then adding audibility. Load this device chain on the return. Accuate, then reverb, then gate, then saturator, then utility. Let's dial them in. Start with EQ8 before the reverb. This is your don't feed junk into the room stage. High pass somewhere around 250 to 450 Hz. In DNB, the weight should mostly come from the dry snare or a dedicated body layer, not from your reverb return. If you feed low end into a room, it turns into cloudy blur in a dense drum mix. If the reverb ends up sounding papery or kind of cardboardish, try a small dip around 2 to 4 kHz. And if you hear hiss or fizzy top, you can gently shelf down above 10 or 12k. Keep it subtle. The goal is a thin, controlled reverb tone. Coach note, a really good snare room return often sounds almost comically filtered when you solo it. That's not a mistake. That's how it stays punchy when the whole mix is playing. Next, Ableton reverb. We want a roomish shape, short size, short decay, and a little pre-delay so we don't blunt the transient. Set quality to high if you can. Eco can smear transients, and transients are everything here. Size, aim around 10 to 18%. Decay time, somewhere like 0.25 to 0.55 seconds. Pre-delay, 8 to 20 milliseconds. Diffusion, 60 to 85%. Here's how to think about diffusion. Higher diffusion makes the tail smoother. Lower diffusion makes it more slappy and early reflections forward. In DNB, that slappy early reflection feeling is often what reads as expensive and real. So don't automatically max diffusion. Try lower if you want more character. If your reverb has early reflections controls, push early reflections up a bit. Early reflections do most of the studio room magic. If your room feels like it's behind the snare, you're usually hearing too much tail and not enough early energy. Inside the reverb, set low cut around 300 to 600 Hz, and high cut around 6 to 10k. Start maybe 7 or 8k for a typical roller, so you don't fight the hats. Dry slash wet should be 100% because this is a return track. Now the key move, gate after the reverb. This is how we get room character without length. The reverb can bloom, then we chop it off before it stacks with the next ghost note or hat. Set the gate attack really fast, around 0.1 to 1 millisecond. Hold can be 0 to 30 milliseconds. Hold is super useful when you want a consistent knock without the gate fluttering. Release, or return, somewhere around 60 to 140 milliseconds. At 174 BPM with a busy pattern, start shorter. Think 60 to 90 milliseconds. If it's too short, it feels nervous and thin. If it's too long, the room drags and smears. This is tempo-aware release, and it's secretly part of your swing. Set threshold so the gate closes right after that first room bloom, and set the floor to minus infinity for a hard gate. If you want a more natural result, bring the floor up to maybe minus 12 dB so it never fully disappears. Now saturator after the gate. This is the trick for making the room audible on small speakers without just turning it up and drowning the drums. Drive around 1 to 4 dB, soft clip on. If it gets harsh, don't just kill the whole return. Back off drive a little, and consider a gentle EQ cut later around 3 to 6K. That harsh band is often where snare reverb becomes annoying. Important gain staging note. Don't slam the reverb input. Keep levels conservative going into the reverb, then add harmonic density after. Distorting the reverb input tends to turn into fizz fast. Finally, utility. Use utility for two things, width and gain staging. Start width around 120 to 160%. That's usually enough to feel wide without hollowing out the snare in mono. Then set gain so the return sits nicely. And now, we listen and tune it like a producer. Loop a two-bar section with your kick, hats, and snare. The full context matters, because the room is there to support the groove, not impress you soloed. Here are your quick fixes. If the snare loses punch when you bring the return in, reduce decay and slash or increase pre-delay. Increase pre-delay in 5 millisecond steps. Think of pre-delay as snap protection. You can often keep the send level and just increase pre-delay until the transient reappears. If the room sounds detached, like it's late or flaming behind the snare, lower pre-delay a bit, and make sure the gate attack isn't too slow. If it clutters the hats or the air region, lower the reverb high cut to around 7 or 8k and slash or reduce the send amount. If it sounds boxy, raise the low cut, and dip around 300 to 500 Hz either before the reverb or after, depending on where it's building up. The real target is this: you shouldn't notice the reverb until you mute it. Mute the return, and suddenly the snare feels smaller and less expensive. Unmute it, and the snare feels finished. That's the sweet spot. Now let's make it groove with timing, because pre-delay is rhythmic. At about 174 BPM, a 64th note is roughly 21.6 milliseconds, and a 128th is about 10.8 milliseconds. So when you're setting pre-delay around 10 to 22 milliseconds, you're literally placing the room bloom in a musical pocket behind the transient. Try 10 milliseconds, then 15, then 20. Pick the one that keeps the crack clean and makes the room feel like an afterimage, not a blur. If you want a faster workflow, you can group your return devices into an Audido effect rack and macro map pre-delay, decay, gate release, width, and return gain. That becomes your performance control. Now, second flavor, the darker metal or concrete room for techie rollers. Duplicate return it when you return B and name it B, dark room. The suggested chain is EQ8, reverb, corpus, saturator, then another EQ8 for the darker reverb. Keep it short but thicker. Size around 12 to 22%. Decay around 0.35 to 0.70 seconds. High cut lower, like 5 to 8K. Low cut higher, like 400 to 800 Hz. Yes, higher. We want the dry snare to carry the weight, and the room to carry vibe. Then add corpus. Keep it subtle. You're not trying to hear a tuned percussion instrument. You're trying to add a resonant body that reads as an industrial space. Start with a tube or a plate-ish vibe, and keep dry slash wet around 10 to 25% on that return chain. Then saturate a little harder if you want. Drive 2 to 6 dB with soft clip can be amazing for darker rooms. Finally, EQ after everything and notch any nasty rings the chain creates. Common problem areas are 200 to 400 Hz for boxiness or 1 to 2K for honk, depending on your snare. Now mono and sides checks, because wide rooms can betray you. On your return, temporarily set utility width to 0%. If your snare suddenly feels smaller or hollow, your stereo information is doing something weird. Pull back width or keep the stereo mostly in the higher frequencies. Advanced move. In EQ8, use M/S mode and high pass the side channel higher than the mid. For example, side high pass at 500 to 800 Hz. This keeps the center punch intact while letting the width live up top. Now, arrangement moves. This is where it becomes DNB. Short rooms shine when you ride them. In the drop, keep the send moderate. Something like minus 14 to minus 10 dB is a good zone depending on the snare. At the end of an 8 or 16 bar phrase, automate the snare send up by 2 to 5 dB just for that last hit. Or even cleaner, automate the return track volume up for that last snare and snap it back down immediately. That way, if you have layered snares or ghosts, you're not messing up the whole send balance. For fills, you can automate decay from, say, 0.35 up to 0.6 seconds, then snap back to tight on the next bar. Instant excitement without changing the sample. And a really slick trick. Automate width so it's narrower right on the transient, then opens up 30 to 80 milliseconds later. That gives you center punch and perceived spread, like the room blooms outward after the hit. Now let's cover common mistakes so you can avoid the classic traps. Mistake 1. Decay too long for the tempo. At 174 BPM, tails stack up fast. Your room turns into smear. Mistake 2. No pre-delay. That's how you dull your transient. If you lose crack, try 8 to 20 milliseconds pre-delay. Mistake 3. Unfiltered reverb. Feeding lows into the room makes the entire drum bus feel cloudy. Mistake 4. Putting the same room on the whole kit. Indeed NB, be surgical. Snare focused return, and only send hats if you really mean it. Mistake 5. Overwidening. Too wide can hollow out your snare in mono. Always do a quick mono audit. Now, advanced variations, in case you want different control styles. If hard gating feels too obvious, do a duct room instead. On the snare room return, put a compressor after the reverb. Turn on sidechain and select your dry snare track as the input. Set attack around 0.3 to 2 milliseconds. Release 40 to 120 milliseconds. Ratio anywhere from 4:1 up to 10:1, and lower the threshold until you see about 3 to 6 dB of gain reduction on snare hits. What that does is super clean. The transient stays clear, and the room blooms immediately after, without the hard chop of a gate. Another advanced option is frequency-dependent gating. Split the return into two chains using an audio effect rack. One chain handles the nice body and air band with a band pass EQ into a short reverb. The other chain isolates the harsh zone, like 2.5 to 8K, and then reverb plus a more aggressive gate. Blend the chain so you get size without splash. And if you want width without really hearing reverb at all, do the Haas Micro Room. On a return, EQ 8 into simple delay into utility. Turn sync off in simple delay. Set left to about 8 to 14 milliseconds, right to about 12 to 20 milliseconds, feedback at 0, and dry slash wet 100% on the return. Then high pass hard around 300 to 600 Hz. That gives you roomish spread with almost no tail, which can be perfect if your snare sample already has enough decay. Quick sound design extra, a tuned room. If your snare has a perceived note, you can reinforce it subtly. Put EQ 8 after the reverb, and a wide bell boost around a likely snare body note, like 200, 250, 330, or 400 Hz, just plus 1 to 2 dB. Then counterbalance with a slightly higher high pass so you're adding a resonant hint, not mud. And one more, micromodulation. This audio version is shortened for playback.